Summer brings a pause, as for those more than 8,000 women and men who circled the city and passed right by the steps of Marsh Chapel earlier this morning in a 10K run by the Boston Athletic Association. The glory of God is a human being fully alive. Summer brings a pause to the schedule of Marsh Chapel. In the month of June, we devote our first Sunday following worship to a gathering of the community for luncheon, and the second Sunday before worship to a consideration of books for summer reading. And then on the third Sunday, as last Sunday, we offer a Father's Day brunch, a gift for those who may not have thought ahead for Father's Day. Consider it again for next year and be with us. And then today we have following worship for 1 hour, Vacation Bible School, also known as Vacation Survival School. We invite you to join us. If you are of a certain age, you may determine the age upon your own consideration. Summer brings us a pause as well as we go into July. This will be the 10th year in which Marsh Chapel has provided for Globe and Region and Community a national summer preacher series. In addition to hearing from our own team, chaplains, university chaplains, Chica and Whitney, you will be given the gift of voices from Atlanta, Georgia, from Oklahoma, from New York, the venerable dean of the Morehouse College Chapel, the Reverend Dr. Lawrence Carter will be with us, Dr. Mark Davies, an ethicist, environmentalist, and teacher from Oklahoma, will grace us with his presence. The Reverend Susan Schaefer, one of the very few women in our denomination to have led a large church for some years, will be with us as well, laboring under the mighty theme, A Lucan Horizon. When the Boston University newspaper asked why such a theme, the reply was twofold. This is the lectionary that binds us together, and while we don't always follow it, especially in the summer this year, we shall. And second, because our world needs and our time needs, from St. Luke, a reminder of the passionate compassion of Almighty God. Jesus in Luke traverses his territory, caring for the least, the last, the lost, those at the dawn of life, those in the twilight of life, those in the shadow of life. We celebrate the divine passion for compassion coming this summer. Summer brings a pause in which we can listen carefully to the delightful scriptures that are ours this year. Why, every one of them the past several weeks could have deserved 30, 35, 40 minutes of preaching. We spare you that. We stay within 21 minutes each Sunday. How good today, by the way, that Sweet Chariot was read by a Baptist, and the freedom that Christ gives us, setting us free, by a Lutheran, and the passage from St. Luke by an Anglican. It was meant to be. These are your scriptures. They feed us. They're wonderful. Who wouldn't want their children to know about Elijah? Elijah battling drought. Elijah against the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, finding then God not in earthquake, wind, or fire, but in a still, small voice. Elijah is last week contesting with King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. And today, that most beautiful passage in Hebrew scripture, except for Hosea 11. A sweet swinging chariot came down from heaven and translated Elijah from Elisha. That movement from one generation in ministry to another. That movement from one generation in ministry to another. So wonderful. And here, Galatians, the Magna Carta of Christian freedom. Paul wrote Galatians to answer one single question: must a Jew become a Gentile in order to become a Christian? And he said 1,000 times no. If you don't remember another line from the Bible, memorize Galatians 5:1. For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be enslaved again. From Paul, who says in this letter to the Galatians that he received faith by apocalypse, that he lives in Christ, I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul, who says in Galatians that life is not based on creation, but on new creation. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. Paul, who recalls for us the fruit of the Spirit today, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faith, a gift of the Spirit, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be enslaved again. Who would not want now for several weeks to bathe in the beauty of St. Luke's rendition of the gospel? We're just turning now into those 11 chapters in which Luke crystallizes with his own material what the gospel is to be. You know, these things we assume were prevalent are only found in Luke. The Good Samaritan, only in Luke. The lost sheep, only in Luke. The lost coin, only in Luke. The prodigal son, only in Luke. The dishonest steward, only in Luke. Luke, the gospel of compassionate passion for those in need. We have a summer pause which we could devote entirely just to savoring the beauty of the scriptures given to us. Today, though, we savor one other pause in this season. We're going to ask those listening from afar, whether in Tokyo or in London, whether in San Diego or in Chicago, whether on the North Shore or down on the Cape, we're going to ask you, seated to the left or to the right, to east or the west, whether at some point now there may be a warm-hearted sense on your part that you are being called into ministry. Now, we labor week by week and enjoy it in the ministry. It's a privilege. What a privilege to be in ministry, to be present, to be allowed to be present at time of birth, to be allowed to be present at time of death, to be allowed to be present at time of challenge and struggle and victory and celebration. What a privilege. Maybe that one or another, a woman or man, younger or older, within the range of this voice, may have considered a vocation, a calling to ministry, like that of Elijah and Elisha, like that of Paul of Tarsus, like that Jesus renders with a warning, follow me, but foxes have their holes, birds of the air their nests, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. These are surely words from the lips of Jesus. Nature imagery, foxes in their holes, which he loved, birds of the air and Aramaism. What other kind of birds are there than birds of the air? It's an Aramaic way of speaking. The Son of Man, his favorite self-appellation, isn't that a marvelous miracle that 2,000 years later we have from the lips of Jesus this warning to those who may be seeking a calling into ministry? And yet, warning to the side or warning alongside, we do invite you to consider whether there has been a touch of the heart, confirmed perhaps by a passing remark, a throwaway line from another. She would be good in the pulpit. He would be good in the ministry. Churches near and far are waiting for young people and others who will take on the mantle of leadership, waiting for those who will build community, waiting for those who will resolve conflict, waiting for those who will open, teach Scripture, waiting for those who will affirm and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Is that you? We carry the warning. The people whom you meet in the ministry are God's people, loving and wonderful. Other than the privileges mentioned, it is the people in ministry who guide and confirm and shape you. You enter the ministry sometimes seeking to change things, but change doesn't always or readily or easily come. My children have suggested to me that when I'm going to give an anecdote that I consider to be humorous or somewhat humorous, I should identify that this anecdote is meant to be humorous to carry a point, though. In the early 1980s, we served a church 5 miles south of the Canadian border. It was in the New York Times last summer on this week when the second of the two escapees from Dannemora was detained right there within eyeshot of this church, a wonderful little church just south on Route 30, up from Canada, as they say. One summer, the church needed a new sign. This was before our arrival, and the trustees had no money. But they had a neighbor who said, "I'd love to do it. I have the skill, time, I'll pay for it myself. Go away, it'll be done in the summer." And what they had in mind was a sign like we have here at Marsh: demure, letters, title of sermon, and so on. When they came back at the end of the summer, well, he just had a good old time. He built a gigantic sign with cement foundation and brick columns and 12 feet tall and 9 shades of lights blinking and a circle and a triangle. And they said, "John, what did you do?" He said, I felt led by the Spirit." You know, those years, I never wanted to see anyone hurt, but I wanted change. And one of the change I wanted was that sign. And in the winter, when the trucks came down from Canada, that is, down south, coming around Route 30, with the ice, sometimes they would slip a little bit, and I thought, maybe one day one of these trucks is going to go off. I didn't want anybody hurt. It was sort of a daydream prayer, but not everything changes. But one night in the autumn, a neighbor from Constable called Burke. Constable's the out appointment. You don't live in the out appointment. He said, "Reverend Hill, something's happened. You need to know about it." And I said, "Yes." He said, "You know how the trucks come from Canada and slide in the ice? Well, it was icy tonight and a truck went off the road." I said, "Yes." He said, "Yeah, it went right across the church lawn. I said, "Yes." He said, "Yeah, it went right into that sign." I said, "Really?" He said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "What happened?" He said, "No one was hurt." I said, "Thank goodness." He said, "But it was totally, totally destroyed." I said, "Really? Well, thank you so much." And I was about to hang up, and I said, "So it was completely destroyed?" And he said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, I guess we'll have to get a committee together and rebuild the sign." And he said, "What do you mean? The sign is fine. The truck was destroyed. The sign is there perfectly. Moved a quarter inch, and it's there to this day." Not everything you want to change is going to change in a lifetime or 40 years or 50 years of ministry. Some will, and some won't. My children tell me that when I'm going to offer an anecdote that is ostensibly humorous, I should identify that ahead of time. Preaching itself, the gift to God and neighbor, doesn't always work as you plan. In our last assignment, we had 3 services on Sunday, 8, 10, and 11, so the sermon needed to be rehearsed early, 5, 6, 7, and then usually a little bit late, I would go out the door, and Jan would be in the basement, an average basement with laundry and tools and a TV and an exercise machine. And this morning's sermon was on blessings, and I was ascending the basement stairs, and she said, "Oh, I just learned something. Dubai means God bless you." I said, "What?" She said, "It means God bless you." I said, "Dubai? You mean the country in the Middle East named Dubai means God bless you?" She said, "What?" I said, "It means God bless you?" She said, "Yes, it means God bless you." So I went to church, and I thought this is a perfect ending to a sermon, and I told the gathered clergy, younger and older, what I was going to do. The younger clergy said, "Oh, that sounds great." The older clergy said, "I don't think so." Ended the first sermon, first service, with an illustration about Dubai, the country in the Middle East, meaning God bless you. The 8:30 crew is usually a taciturn group. They want to come and leave. But even though sometimes there was a cold shoulder, this Sunday it was particularly cold with regard to Dubai. One said, "Are you sure about Dubai, meaning God bless you?" With that caution, I left aside that illustration for the 10 and 11 services. We had dinner that night with someone who'd been present in the last service. He said something about the sermon. I said, I just didn't use what I wanted to at the end. I learned through my wife this morning that Dubai means God bless you. And then we got talking about something else, and across the table I see Jan looking at me with that look. Do you know that look? That look that says, "What are you talking about?" We got in the car, and it was 20 below zero inside the car, if it was 20 above outside. And we start to drive home, and she says, "What are you talking about? Dubai." I said, "Jan, you told me when I was going up the stairs that It would be good for this sermon. Blessings, that Dubai means God bless you. She said, I did not say that. I said, goodbye means God bless you. Not Dubai means God bless you. Goodbye. In other words, we don't always get to the finish line and the mark, even in a sermon of a summer pause. Summer brings us a pause in a run across the city of Boston, in gatherings at Marsh Chapel, in the savoring of the scripture of the season, and in a call to the ministry. I wonder if within the sound, the range of this voice, there are women or men who sense that urging, that call to the ministry. You know, we believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in the true person, Jesus, to reconcile and to make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. God calls us to be the church, to celebrate Christ's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our help. In life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Well, beloved, in this summer pause, may I offer you a parting word to take with you. The word is Dubai. It means God bless you.